The Dave Llewellyn Podcast is sponsored by Sherm's Candy, a Michigan-based company that specializes in awesome-tasting candy that's in the shape of Michigan. And welcome again to the Dave Llewellyn Podcast. So pleased that you joined us today. We cover sports stories, newsmakers, and difference makers in our community and across the state of Michigan. You find us on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, your favorite platform for podcasts. Today, my guest, Mark Montgomery, the head basketball coach at the University of Detroit Mercy, the 23rd coach in school history. He's a Michigan native, Aquinas High School, Michigan State University, where he played under Judd Heathcote, an assistant coach at the college level, a head coach at the college level, before coming to Detroit to take over the fortunes of the Titans. And Mark Montgomery joins me today. Mark, thank you for the time. We appreciate this. You're in the middle of your season, so let's start right there. You come in, you got to take over a program that frankly had one of the worst seasons in its history last year with just one victory. Big job. Tell me, in your estimation, how the job is going so far.
We already knew it was going to be a rebuild. And, you know, the big thing your first year, I didn't get the job till late April. Mm-hmm. So right away you have to hit the road recruiting, especially with the transfer portal. A lot of guys decided to not return. And then, you know, you got to get players. So that's kind of the deal. Year one, I would always hope for more victories. We have six. But it wasn't about wins and losses. The first year is more about building the culture, laying the foundation, getting the right guys in, even though we got them in late. And then the future looks bright. I kind of started in-house in the state of Michigan. One game this year, we had to start five freshmen because we had 10 players on our roster are Michigan natives. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of totally different from the Mike Davis era. But I think it's good in-state players, if it's high school, if it's transfers. But that's kind of what we kind of concentrated on the first year. Be a little different the second year because we had a whole season to recruit and get out. But, you know, if we could have more wins, I would be more happy. I think what we've shown our first year is we're competitive in every game and we're fighting every game. So I think we brought the fight and the grit and the, you know, back to Detroit Mercy. And then in years to come, we'll definitely bring back more winning.
You mentioned the freshmen that you were able to bring in and transfers as well. And frankly, I mean, that's college basketball today, right? I mean, with the portal, I mean, there's a lot of movement, you know, guys come and guys go. You want to have some of your own players that you hope you have there for 4 years because you recruited them out of high school. But this is a different game today, isn't it?
Yeah, the loyalty of when I played, like you said, I was at Michigan State for 4 years. You made a commitment not only to the coaches but to the university. You know, now it's, you know, some guys want to go up a level. Some guys want to go down a level. Some guys are worried about, you know, name, image, and likeness. I banked on, you know what, relationships, trying to get players locally or within the state that will want to develop. And then opportunity, if it knocks, you know, that's their decision. That's their family decision. But you can't count on that year in and year out. You got to, you know what, win as you can, develop as you can, and then hopefully you could put a nice package together that they want to stay and they want to show some loyalty. Mm-hmm. So on the development, playing time, education, you try to throw it all together, family, getting to see them. But at the end of the day, if they're too successful, more likely they're going to go elsewhere. And that's a sad thing in college sports, but you know, it's more professional sports now anyway.
Yeah, that's right. Well, with NIL and all that, definitely has changed the equation. The vision, when you go into a young man's home, talk with him, his family, the vision that you, Mark, as head coach now at the University of Detroit, look, there's great history here. Bob Callahan, name on the arena, and Dave DeBuscher and Dick Vitale era, and, you know, John Long and Terry Tyler and Terry Durod and the late, great Earl Cureton. And, you know, as recently as, a Horizon League championship. But the consistency, you know, in the last 15 years, I mean, there have been some tough times there. So you come in as a Michigan native, a name that people know from your history. What's the vision that you are using to sell the program at U of D Mercy going forward?
Well, first, of course, I try to sell that I'm homegrown. You know, I grew up in this area. I played high school basketball. I won a Catholic League championship in this gym. So name recognition does help. But then also go to the vision of I'm an experienced coach, like you said. I was at Michigan State 13 years. Mm-hmm. I was at Northern Illinois as a head coach for 10 years. I had to take it where, at the time, we were the worst program in the MAC, and we got it to all the way. We went to the semifinals, and we had successful years. And then I developed players at Northern Illinois that went on to play overseas, you know, continue their basketball career, which is good. But selling Detroit Mercy, at first it starts with education. Mm-hmm. Unbelievable education here. I can't just roll you in. You got to be a good enough student to get in here first. Mm-hmm. And then from there, it starts. But, you know, when you think of college, not just college basketball, but education, wherever you go, you got to earn that degree. It's going to be 120 credits. It's just going to, if you leave here, when if you graduate, it's going to be a jump start in life. But then I go back to simple things I try to sell. I think it's my fulfill three areas. Academically, where they graduate, athletically, that I can help develop them and get them better. And then, you know, socially. So I have young boys, and I want them to leave this place where they're a man, they can start a family, they can give back to the community, they're positive. So if I could do that, but basketball-wise, most guys want to talk basketball. Mm-hmm. So to me is, if I get a two-year commitment, I can help. One thing, you know, we were one in whatever the year before, so playing time, they all want to play. So that's an easy sell. And then development. I start naming guys that help develop at Michigan State. Those names ring a bell when you say Draymond Green, mm-hmm. you know, Shannon Brown, Maurice Ager from the Detroit area, Paul Davis, Drew Knight. So they know those players. So I got to help mentor, develop those kind of guys. And then I think I bring a winning aspect. You know, it's tough the first year, but at Michigan State, at Northern, we won. We advanced to the tournament. We have NCAA experience. So I think every kid wants to have those opportunities. And then, you know, you have to be a go-getter here. It's not, you know, we've had some lean years, mm-hmm. but also you could change those things by getting better, playing and helping us win games.
Well, and, you know, homegrown products, I mean, local kids that can stay home and the families can see them play. I mean, that's got to be important to certain kids, and then you got to make sure, right, they're the right kids that that fit your culture and your vision and can help you achieve wins on the court.
And the best name to do that, I start for them because they watch the NBA now. You go Willie Green, mm-hmm. Cooley High School. He came here, the jersey's retired. He went on to the NBA, played 14 years. Now he's the NBA coach. So they know name recognition on Willie Green. I think some of the best things that happened this year is we have so much in-state kids on the roster. We're bringing high schools back here. We got their parents. We have the AAUs. We got the churches involved. So Callahan Hall is used to in-state homegrown kids that they've watched in high school. They watched in AAU. Now they can watch them every day if they decide to pick University of Detroit Mercy.
What was it about this job for you? You know, you could have stayed at Michigan State, right? You could have continued to work under Coach Izzo. The appeal of the Detroit job for you, though, I mean, it's home, for one thing.
Yeah, I always say it's hard to leave Michigan State because I say it's a country club up there. We have all the bells and whistles. You got Tom Izzo. It's an easy sell to recruit. I love my time, but I love my time being a head coach. I couldn't pass up the opportunity to be a head coach. And this time, I'm not out of state. I'm in state. You know, I had to leave the state of Michigan where all my contacts to go to Northern Illinois. I think it's an easy sell. I know the Catholic League. Know the public league, you know. I know the state of Ohio. I know Illinois. So it's not going to just be all Michigan kids, but I know the Michigan high school coaches. I know their kids. I've been in those gyms. We just need some players. We got some with Nate Johnson coming from Grand Rapids, TJ Nadeau from Detroit Catholic Central. We have Lance Stone coming over from Renaissance next year. So we have Grant Gondrzak, Benton Harbor area. So we have Miles Mitchell from Warren, Lincoln. So we have some in-state kids to start it. Mm-hmm. Now we're going to get them better, and then we're going to grow from there. And then this thing's going to be fun again where we're winning the High Horizon League and we're competing for championships again.
Mark Montgomery, the head coach, head basketball coach at the University of Detroit Mercy, my guest on the Dave Llewellyn podcast. We want to pause for just a moment as we say once again how grateful we are that Sherm's Candy is a sponsor of the Dave Llewellyn podcast. Have a sweet tooth and a love for Michigan. Sherm's Candy is the perfect place to satisfy both. Sherm's specializes in delicious candies, all shaped like the Mitten State itself. Choose from classic Michigummies for a delightful taste of gummy goodness. Or if you're looking for a richer flavor experience, indulge in decadent chocolate Michigummies. And for those who prefer a tart and tangy treat, pucker up for sour Michigummies. Sherm's Candy doesn't forget about your furry friends either. They offer Mishapups, a tasty treat made just for dogs. Many fine retailers across our state carry Sherm's Candy, or you can order online at shermscandy.com. That's shurmscandy.com. shermscandy.com. Happy to have them on board as a sponsor of the Dave Llewellyn podcast. Continuing our conversation with Mark Montgomery, the head basketball coach at the University of Detroit Mercy. All right, we talked about the vision. We talked about the hopes for the future. I want to get into your background a little bit more. We know you're a native of the state. Played at Aquinas, then went on to Michigan State. You were recruited to Michigan State by Judd Heathcote and his staff at the time. Tell me about your decision as a young man back then at Southgate Aquinas, looking to play at the next level, college basketball. You ultimately wound up at Michigan State. A little bit of the process and your decision-making back then, Mark.
Well, it goes back to, like you said, I was at Aquinas. Ernie Price was the head coach then. Still good friends to this day. Him, Mike Latch, and his Jim Perry, Phil Biondi, we're still friends to this day. So, and they still support me. They come to games here. But I think it was my coaches there at Aquinas. They had a good relationship with Tom Izzo. That's kind of how it started. Even though Judd Heathcote was the head coach, I always say Judd probably seen me the least, but Tom Izzo saw me the most. The most memorable story with Judd Heathcote is we're playing in the Catholic League championship. I think it's the first or second round. And we're the late game. We're playing UAD Jesuit. And in the first half of that game, I think I had, I don't know, 25 to 27 points. And it's the late game. It's the 8 o'clock game. I think Judd saw enough. So he got in the car and left at halftime. And sure enough, I got the offer. I'm glad he didn't stick around for that second half because I think I only had 5 points. We ended up losing by a bucket or two. But I thought the relationship with Coach Izzo, the staff, Judd, he was always a funny guy. He definitely could charm my mom at the time. But I think the distance played a factor. Mm-hmm. And I fell in love with campus, fell in love with the recruiting class. I go back to Mike Peplowski was a freshman. He was at De La Salle at the time. We played AAU ball together. Matt Stiginga, we played AAU ball. He was from Grand Rapids. At the time, we had John Zuloff was in our class, Parrish Hickman from Bishop Borges. Mm-hmm. So state really concentrated on, at the time, to get in-state kids to get that thing back rolling. And it just, we all visited at the same time. We liked it. And it kind of started there. But Judd was the head coach. But believe it or not, Izzo did all the legwork. And that's how I think our relationship started, with him recruiting me. And then after my playing career, him hiring me back. I started off at Central Michigan for 4 years, but then ultimately I got a second chance to go back to Michigan State for 10. And I thought those were the years I really developed as a good assistant coach to get me to the position I can be a head coach.
All right. So you mentioned that recruiting class and coming in with those guys, Michigan guys. Is in a sense that a blueprint that you hope to duplicate at University of Detroit Mercy in terms of, you know, beginning to elevate this program?
Well, definitely that was the blueprint at Michigan State over the, you know, I was there 13 years. You always start in state and then work your way in the surrounding areas, mostly within the Midwest. We have a kid coming from the Lima area next year. But I think it's always a good blueprint if you have good in-state kids and your relationship with those high school and AAU coaches. They're going to give you the benefit about the benefit of the doubt, and they trust you. They can come to practices. They can come to your office when things aren't going out well, and you could talk about it. So if it doesn't matter if it's the Steve Halls at Cass Tech, the Wildell Henrys, or if you're on the west side of the state, Muskegon with Keith Guy, those relationships have already started. So we're going to, those are talented programs. Those are good coaches. We're going to definitely recruit their programs. So I think when you recruit good quality programs, you're going to get a quality kid, not just on the court, but off the court. And we have the same values. So I think we can win that way. And then you're going to recruit those guys regardless, because if they go out of state and things don't work out, the relationship is already started.
Right.
Sometimes you get homesick. You want to come back home. I want them to call in Detroit Mercy, and then we're going to be in the conversations.
And let's go back to Judd for just a second and talking about playing style, fitting in. He was a pretty demanding guy. And you know, if Izzo did a lot of the legwork, he was still, when you're on campus at practice, I mean, he was the guy calling the shots. And for players, Judd was pretty demanding, right? I mean, he was on you.
You don't win a championship, and you don't send so many people to the NBA if you're not.
Yeah.
I just know one thing with Judd. I always say, long as you're in the playing group, because if you weren't in the playing group, it was even tougher.
Yeah.
But he was demanding, but he wanted the best for you. And he had been around a long time. And he saw the ones that probably should have made it that didn't make it. But I still do some of the drills that we do when he was the head coach there.
Really?
You know, from the daily dozens to the passing drills, he demanded and taught fundamentals. Now, I think some of the things I took from him, his sarcasm, he could light up a room. Unbelievable jokes. You know, it could be the dullest moments. I said it to my team, I think, a week and a half ago. I said, well, guys, we didn't practice very good. Good thing is, you know what? We don't play tomorrow. So we have one more day to figure it out, get better at it. But his things were scripted, and we script things today from how Judd did it, where he had his notebook. He knew the practice plan. He was very organized. He ran a good practice. He would stay after. He had chatted up with you, talked to you. He can get you going. His sarcasm and his jokes lit a world up. He's unbelievable. Unbelievable at a banquet. I wish he was around to this day that I can invite him down to talk at our banquet when we have one. But he was before his time with that fast break. We still run his control fast break. We don't do his zone. You know, we're differently that we take rebounded from his own. You know, Joe was more of a, hey, offense, let's score it. Let's get out and run. But he was ultimately an unbelievable person. Mm-hmm. And, that's what was fun playing for.
Well, how blessed were you then to have that experience as Judd as a head coach, and then all the years of association with Tom Izzo, and then the ability to learn from him as a key assistant on his teams for 13 years. I mean, That's a lot of basketball knowledge.
No. Different knowledge. You know, we always say it's a couple different ways to skin it. Mm-hmm. And Judd skinned it his way. He won a national championship. Coach Izzo did his way. He's won. He's been very successful. Those 8 Final Fours. But as an assistant, you get to pick. I worked under Jay Smith. He was at Central Michigan at the time. So what I try to do is take a little bit from each of the guys that I work with in different clinics and that I've went to. But ultimately, under Tom Izzo, he just rolled up his sleeves a lot differently and cat after it a lot differently than a lot of coaches. So you're going to take the bulk of, I was there 10 years because we was in the Final Four in 05, mm-hmm. 9, 10. And we were in a couple sweet Elite Eights and a couple Sweet 16s. But the bulk of my experience as a coach is under Izzo, from the relationships to the recruiting to the practices to the rebounding to the defense to what we do offensively. You take from who you probably with the most, and from the video to the film session to the team bonding, you can learn a lot as long as you want to be a sponge. And it got to be, it was fun to be a sponge for those 13 years. And then I ultimately wanted to go out and see if I could be in that lead seat. And I was fortunate enough to do it at Northern for 10. Mm-hmm. And hopefully I can do it here for 10 plus. And this could be my last job, hopefully.
All right. So when the time came for you to say, this is a job, Detroit Mercy, that I want, you have that conversation, I'm sure, with Tom Izzo. And I got to believe he was tremendously supportive of you in that pursuit, and probably, had some influence in the process, I would guess.
Yeah, I mean, you always have to have a head coach that's going to back you and want you to move on and do things that you've dreamed about doing again. And it's always good when you're in that seat, you can have Tom Izzo make the call to the president, President Taylor, and then AD Robert Vowles. I think that helps. They listen to guys that are veterans and been around, but also other assistant coaches that went on. I got a chance, if it was Tom Crean, and then it was Brian Gregory, and then it was Mike Garland, it was Stan Heath, it was Dwayne Stevens, it was Doug Wojcik, it was Jim Boylan. So all different programs to, if it was at Kent State with Stan, or if it was Utah with Jim Boylan, or if it was Marquette with Tom Crean, and if it was Dayton. So now it's Dwayne Stevens at Western Michigan. Mm. So his tree and his legacy is always going to live through us, even when he decides to retire. But I don't think he's going anywhere anytime soon. He said it. He just said it again. I think he did an interview with the Villanova head coach who's retired.
Right.
So Jay Wright. So he keeps telling everybody, you'll know the day when his energy and his passion stops. But I don't think it's anytime soon. But anything we took from him, and he said it in his interview with Jay Wright, long as you got the energy and the passion, and even though rules change, you have to adjust. It's challenges no matter what, even when the rules were the other way. Yeah. But as long as you can get up and have that energy and that effort every single day, why leave it?
Mark Montgomery, head basketball coach at the University of Detroit Mercy. My guest today on the Dave Llewellyn Podcast, our sponsor for this podcast, Sherm's Candy. Have a sweet tooth and a love for Michigan? Well, Sherm's Candy is the perfect place to satisfy both. Sherm's specializes in delicious candies, all shaped like the Mitten State itself. Choose from classic Michigan gummies for a delightful taste of gummy goodness. Or if you're looking for a richer flavor experience, indulge in decadent chocolate Michigan gummies. And for those who prefer a tart and tangy treat, pucker up for sour Michigan gummies. Sherm's Candy doesn't forget about your furry friends either. They offer Misha Pups, a tasty treat made just for dogs. Many fine retailers across Michigan carry Sherm's Candy, or you can order online at shermscandy.com. Thrilled to have Mark Montgomery with us today on the Dave Llewellyn Podcast. Mark, you mentioned Judd Heathcote, Tom Izzo, all those assistant coaches that have been beneficial in your life and in your professional career. And even mention Ernie Price and some of the high school coaches, but other influences in your life, positive influences who have helped shape Mark Montgomery and make you the man and the coach that you are today.
Well, I mean, of course, growing up, it always started with my mom. Positive influence got me. I think I was going to Catholic school since first grade. Mm-hmm. It was Sacred Heart and Dearborn. And then it was off to Aquinas for those 4 years. So I give a lot of credit to her, single mom at the time. And then my grandparents, Rebecca and Henry Green, from just being rock solid, you know, having your grandparents around when you're growing up, that always helps. The stories they share, the trips you go on. So it's always it's always family first. I have an older brother. Two of them, Greg and Marlon Montgomery. One's on the West Coast, one's on the East Coast, and my sister, Marshall, she was at Michigan State with me during my journey. So it was always family first for me growing up and the influences. But then, as you said it, after that, when I got into coaching, the tree that we have, mm-hmm. and that's so great about our fraternity, that you can call other coaches that's in this seat and ask for advice, share thoughts, talk strategies, and that kind of has helped. But a lot of influences were, believe it or not, coaches that when I got involved in basketball, other than family.
Well, you know, father figures, second fathers, I mean, just influential people in general in your life. And we all need those mentors, you know, people who can show us the way, right?
Oh, no doubt about it. And you can't do it by yourself. You know, as they say, you know, growing up, you need it takes a village to help sharpen you. You know, if it's the church, if it's the YMCA, if it's the boys club, if it's a pastor, whatever it is, if it's a coach, you need positive. I have had positive influences in my life, and I'm not perfect. So you need someone to, like, as I go back to when you're going to get your first car, you know, trying to finance the finances, or you're buying your first house, yeah. or all of a sudden you get engaged. You got to show someone that engagement ring. Am I doing the right thing? Am I spending too much money? So it doesn't matter. But mine was always my family. I can lean on mom first. And then my best friend at the time after college was Dwayne Stevens, who's in it, right? Michigan, you got to lean on someone. Am I making the right investment? Should I get crypto? Should I not get crypto? You know, different stuff in life.
Right.
You can always learn. Like I said, I've been a sponge my whole life. I listen to guys that's been successful. It doesn't matter if it's a business person, if it's a sports person, if it's a broadcaster. You need those people to talk to. And you listen to their stories and their experiences. You can learn a lot.
And isn't that one of the satisfying things of coaching too, is the relationships that you as a head coach and with your staff are able to have with young people, right? And you mentioned it earlier on. It's like, you know, really you're helping them on the journey from being boys to manhood and being productive, successful people in our world.
And that's why most coaches gets into it, depicts this crazy career, because you want to help people. You want to give back. And I say I love it because no matter what, the classes are usually, or the ages are usually 18 to 22. Mm. Those are influencing times of a person's life. I just think back to my college coaches, from Stan Joplin to Izzo to Brian Gregory. They're at Michigan State when I was there. They helped sharpen my life because of their influences. And I didn't know it was going to be a basketball coach until when you say you're not going to play anymore and then what you're going to do. I just love the game. Mm-hmm. You know, I like going out recruiting and meeting new people and traveling. And I like help developing on the court. I don't think I was a great player. I was a good player. And then, you know, I always say no matter what, doesn't matter how good of a coach I am, the video never lies. So you can always show video to back your story. We shared this video yesterday. It takes you back to when I graduated in 1992. We're talking about the Buffalo Bills. They just couldn't get over the hump again this year against Kansas City. So we showed the 1992 clip where they had already been to the Super Bowl three straight years. So they're going back for the fourth year. They were down to Houston Oilers at home in Buffalo. I don't know if you remember.
I do remember.
28-3 at half.
Right.
And then it was pick six. So it was 35-3.
Yeah.
And they came back and won that 41-38. So it's never over. We're having a lean year now, and we're showing them, you know, we're wounded, but we're not dead yet. So we're going to keep fighting. And that's going to be like our mantra here. It's just tell our guys not to give up and keep fighting. Good things can happen. We still have March where we can make it unbelievable. That's the good thing about March Madness. Everyone gets it to the tournament. But we want to make sure last game in January, going through in February, that we're getting better. So when March comes, we can go on an unbelievable run. Hopefully we don't get down 30-some points to come back. But it was a good story that we shared. And then it's funny, because when we're dealing with this era, none of those kids were born.
Right.
So they never, you know, 92, yeah, they never saw a video.
Yeah.
It resonated with them, though. They had an unbelievable practice yesterday.
Yeah, that's great. Well, yeah, that kind of comeback's got to resonate for sure. Mark, we wish you the best of luck going forward this season and in the seasons to come, in this role at the University of Detroit Mercy. Best of luck to you and to your team. Continued success. I appreciate your time today, and we'll be following the progress of the Titans, that's for sure.
Appreciate it. Dave, thanks for having me on.
Thank you so much. There you go. Mark Montgomery, the head basketball coach at the University of Detroit Mercy, joining us on today's episode of the Dave Llewellyn Podcast. Appreciate his time for sure. And as always, we thank you for joining us on the podcast as well. Tell a friend, share it with a friend, encourage them to listen in on some of these great guests and the stories that they have to tell to share with all of us. Thanks to our producer-director, Josh Bowron, most of all to you. And until next time, stay safe, be kind. The Dave Llewellyn Podcast is sponsored by Sherm's Candy, a Michigan-based company that specializes in awesome-tasting candy that's in the shape of Michigan.